Have you gone too far for God to accept you? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Han and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Davy Cannon, who felt like he was so far away from God while he was on meth, LSD, and many more drugs.
I can totally relate to feeling far from God because, you know, when you start to learn more about the Lord and you realize the things that you've done, the bad, it's very difficult to say, wow, I can't believe I did all that knowing what I know now. Yeah. And so I remember a time when I would read the Bible and I'd feel so convicted and think, I just blew it today. Will God still love me? I mean, small things, but they were big in God's eyes, I felt. So I struggled with that same thing.
Yeah, well, that's a component of messing up. That's a component of sin. It's shame. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Adam and Eve, and they even ran away and hid, you know? And so how much more is it natural for us when we sin or we do something, we know that it's not pleasing to God, and we feel like, oh man, you know, I've gone too far. God's not going to forgive me. Mm-hmm. But that's entirely not the case. Mm-hmm. God's will is that no one should perish. God has paid such a heavy price at the cross so that he could forgive us even of huge things. I mean, it even says in the Bible, it says Hebrews chapter 4, verses 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so that means is don't run away. If you're finding yourself far away from God, don't run away from God. Run towards God.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the big sins that we think are big, in God's eyes, all sin is sin. Yeah. So every mess up we do is not good. But when we come to him and we repent and we say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. He is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins.
But you got to go against the current because the current always wants you to feel shame and to run away.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Davy Cannon after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Young Living Essential Oils and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Young Living is the leader in 100% pure essential oils, providing natural plant-based ways to improve your health while replacing many chemical-laden products in your home. People have been using essential oils for thousands of years, even in the Bible. To order, just visit wearingsharingcaring.com today, and for a limited time, receive a free gift to help you get started. That's Young Living Essential Oils at wearingsharingcaring.com.
We're excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Han Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Davy Cannon, and he's going to share how he was raised in church, believed in God, but felt like he went too far and God could never forgive him. Hmm. Let's welcome to the show, Davy. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand you were raised in the church and you're a good kid. Up until you're about 12 years old, you and your friends got a little bored. Tell me what started to happen.
Well, grew up in a real rural area and just not much to do around that area. And me and about three of my friends just bored and started getting into smoking pot and eventually drinking. And it just started from there.
Wow. So at 14 years old, you ended up getting caught. And instead of it turning you away from drugs, things got worse. Tell me about that.
Tried to commit suicide and wound up being hospitalized for 14 days. Would have thought when I came out of that, that it would have done something to change my life, but it didn't. My addictions and everything just got worse from there.
Wow. So tell me about how you continued to do these drugs and what were you addicted to at that time?
At that time, I would experiment. I was doing LSD. I was smoking pot. We would do mushrooms, drinking a lot of beer. Wound up graduating from high school and thought the military would not only help me, but I wanted to serve my country. But in the Navy, I found more opportunities to drink and my alcoholism just got worse.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, when you started these drugs, you weren't expecting that you'd get addicted to it. But as you did you find that it wasn't enough? Like, did you feel happy during this time? Or what were you going through during this time in your life?
I never tell anybody any stories about it. I had moments of pleasure that I thought at that time were pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I had moments where I thought I had release from my situations. Mm-hmm. But I look back now and I realize that pain was just growing in me.
Mm-hmm. And in the year 2000, you were still on drugs and you were drinking about a case of beer a day. It just kept getting worse. You'd end up in the hospital and you were married and had a child. Tell me about that.
That was my second child, Eli, and Eli was born 1 pound, 10 ounces. They told us that he had a 10% chance of making it, and we spent 114 days in the hospital. That drove my depression and everything to a deeper point and just fueled my alcoholism. It fueled my drug abuse, and I just went further downhill from there.
Yeah, and I understand you got into meth, and things just kept accumulating in your life. Is that right?
Yeah, in 2005, I got hooked on methamphetamines, and that was literally one of the worst years of my life. Mm-hmm. I was addicted to crystal meth. I continued to traffic crystal meth and got in a lot of trouble with my family. Would have gotten some trouble with the law if it hadn't been for my mother doing everything she could and spending her savings to keep me out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. And where was God for you in this time of your life as you were raised in the church, but how did you feel about God during this time?
I'll be honest, my wife was praying for me that whole time, but there was no relationship between me and God at that time. I wasn't even focused on God because I had accepted the fact that salvation was not possible for me.
Mm. And what made you feel that God would never accept you?
It went too far. I had done some things that I felt were unforgivable. The way I treated my wife, the way I treated my kids. You know, as a husband and a father, you reach a point to where you wanted to do the right thing, but you reach a point to where when you've truly had destruction in your life that you felt like you've done everything wrong, raising your kids, being a husband, and you violated too many principles to ever come back from that.
Mm-hmm. I know that there are people listening who feel that way, that it's too late for them. They feel like the more they try, the harder they try, it just keeps getting worse.
I think that's an easy thing for people to really relate to, because oftentimes Christians, non-Christians can feel like, why would God ever love me?
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds a little bit of what you went through. And you said that the crystal meth year was so bad. What made that so bad?
Well, my addiction, you know, from the time I used it the first time, I never went a moment without using it for a solid year.
Oh my gosh.
And each time that I used just took me down a deeper road. And by the time I had probably gotten to the 8th or 9th month of that addiction, I was suffering from paranoid delusion. I was suffering from weakness. I was suffering from fatigue because I hadn't eaten. The meth was fueling my strength and my energy, even though my body was giving out on me.
Wow.
And my family had finally caught on to what was going on. Mm-hmm. I had accused my children of doing things to hurt me and coming against me. I blamed everybody for everything but myself.
Wow. Now, I understand it went from bad to worse. You ended up having another child, and the doctor said that this child was going to die. He was only 15 ounces. At 26 weeks, they wouldn't even incubate him. But miraculously, this child survived. But that set you over the top, and you ended up, even during the time he was in the hospital, going to the restaurant to drink. But that was when, in 2012, your wife was like, you need to get into rehab. Tell me about that.
Well, and during that time, I was so stricken with sickness, and my life, it took such a turn for the worse. But my wife actually left me and told me she would not come back if I didn't get help. So eventually I gave into that, and she got me a room down south in Delray Beach. She took me down there and put me in rehab. She would literally drive from North Florida to South Florida every Friday to come spend the weekend and visit me. And the whole time I still thought that she was out to get me because I was so deprived from what I should have been by the drug use and the fatigue and the wearing out of my body. And my oldest son just hated me. He hated the ground that I walked on. He was 16 years old. I had done so many things to him. And I felt like I had lost everything, that nothing was going to come back. And into my second week of rehab, I reached a moment to where I knew that I had fallen as far as I could. And I came to reason with myself that either I could continue to stay there and wallow in my issue, or I could grab for something better. I just laid on my bed one night and I asked God if I hadn't went too far to please come into my life and just take the desire of drugs and alcohol from me. And I watched the Spirit of the Lord enter that room. I watched the Holy Spirit come into that room and lift everything that I had ever done, every drug, every drink, every punishment I'd put on my children, He took from me. And He spent time with me in that room. I felt the presence of God. And I knew at that moment my life would never be the same. I had no idea that I was fixing the light out on a road that I had no control over.
Wow. So you felt the presence of the Lord in your life at that time. And how did things change from that point?
I walked in church for the first time in the Church of God in Steinhatchee on Father's Day of 2012. That was a powerful day in my life, not only as a father, but as reaching out for our Heavenly Father. And it always will be a precious day in my life. And my pastor, George Haig, led me to share my testimony, and I shared it. 6 months later, he asked me to become the youth pastor, and I did. And that was in 2012, and I just kept seeking the Lord. And in 2014, I became an exhorter in the Church of God.
Wow.
My ministry continued to grow. In 2014, also, we started a ministry called Overcomers, which has just grown and become a faith-based alternative for AA and NA.
Wow. So there are people listening right now who are saying, this guy really had this major change, but could God do it for me? I mean, they feel that they have done wrong. What's one word you would say to them who are listening right now who feel like there's no hope for them because they've gone too far?
Believe. Just believe in Him because He's powerful. And His word will lift everything that you've ever done, not only out of your spirit, but it will fill your life with every bit of joy that He ever meant.
Amen. Amen. Wow, what a powerful, powerful testimony. And we appreciate you so much, Davey, for sharing what God has done. And it just shows us that you're never too far from the hand of God. No matter what you've done, whether you're a Christian or not, you can call out to Him. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing testimony. But I think it's something that any of us can relate to. There's so many times in our life, whether we believe in God, whether we don't, we can come to a point in our life where we feel like we've done so much wrong that how could God forgive us? I've gone too far. I've done too much. It's no longer possible. There's no route back for me. But the truth is, if you ask and if you just believe, Jesus will show up and He will say, my son, or my daughter, I forgive you. We have to receive it. Not only receive it, believe it. And actually welcome that forgiveness into your life. And I'm sensing that the Lord wants to do that in someone's life right now.
Yes.
Jesus, I'm praying, Lord God, for the person who's listening and saying, that's me. I feel like I'm past that point.
Mm-hmm.
God, we receive it right now, my friend. Just receive it. Jesus, I receive your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I ask for your presence.
Yep.
And I confess my sins to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I repent of them. Come, Holy Spirit, right where we're at. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.